Possible Poetry, ein Podcast über neue Welten und Wege in der Poesie mit Dirk Hülstrunk. Possible Poetry, a podcast about new worlds and roads of poetry with your host Dirk Hülstrunk. You are listening to episode 4 of Possible Poetry, a podcast about new worlds and paths of poetry. This episode will be in English. My name is Dirk Hülstrunk, and it's a real privilege that I'm able to meet and talk to poets from around the globe in this international podcast. So today our podcast is traveling, or actually zooming, to Helsinki in Finland to meet with Harri Hertel, a writer, a spoken word poet, poetry slam, and cultural activist, a producer, a DJ, and also a proud father. Harri is the founder of the poetry collective Helsinki Poetry Connection, and has produced and hosted many, many different poetry and spoken word events in Finland, and is also the host of Finland's only monthly poetry slam in Helsinki. He is the one person that really developed and pushed spoken word poetry in Finland in the last 15 years. He has worked with many musicians and fronted the spoken word group Hertel & Hertel and the dub poetry duo Dubros. But Harri is not only a great stage poet, but he has also published quite a few poetry books, which is not that common in the field of spoken word. In his recent poetry, he specifically reflects on fatherhood, family, and the small wonders of everyday life. His poetry has been translated in many languages, and he's been awarded the Ussima Art Prize in 2021, and he's working on a poetry collection in English, which is to come out soon. I am especially excited to meet Harri quite soon during the Great Book Fair in my hometown, Frankfurt, where he will perform at a very special event with a group of young international poets from Slovenia, Serbia, Hungary, Poland. And many of those poets are connected to the spoken word poetry and poetry slam scenes in their countries. There will be translations in English and German. And if you come to Frankfurt Book Fair, please check out Poets of Today, Voices of Tomorrow, October 19th at International Theatre Frankfurt. I'll be hosting it, and it's free of charge. So welcome to Possible Poetry Podcast, Harri Hertel from Finland.
Thank you. Kiitos.
Unfortunately, we can't share a beer with this podcast, which we usually like to do when we meet up.
Yeah. We could take something from the fridge and share it, but maybe we will see later. So we do it live.
We do it live. Is there actually a famous beer in Helsinki you would like to drink?
Well, maybe not Helsinki, but we have a wide selection of microbreweries, and also the big ones are quite okay. So all the beers are quite okay in Finland.
Finland doesn't really have a recognition as a beer nation, but I'm sure I know that you know the secret places where to find the really good stuff. If you ever travel to Finland and to Helsinki, try to find out about Harri Hertel and contact him and see where the real cool beer places are. The interesting thing is we have, we know each other for quite a while. And I remember that when I first came to Finland, I performed in one of your spaces, the Helsinki Poetry Jam that you were hosting at that time and organizing. It must have been maybe 2009 or 10, something around that. And then later on, you had been part of the tour with Finnish poets to Frankfurt Book Fair in 2014, where we hired a fire truck with a built-in sauna. So that was quite a fun tour, I guess. Where are you actually right now? I think you have moved right now.
Yeah, I'm in Helsinki. We moved actually yesterday from one house to another. So I live and my family lives in quite centrum of Helsinki. District called Töölö, and it's a quite easygoing district, but a good location to go wherever you want to go in Helsinki, and even some poetry events here, but mostly organized by me, like quite many of the Helsinki poetry events are.
So how's the weather in Helsinki right now?
Well, it's quite typical autumn weather. It's gray. It's maybe plus 14 or something, but not raining, so it's quite okay.
And like in the recent years, I heard that in Finland, you actually did feel the climate change quite a bit. So the winters have changed. Is that also true for Helsinki?
Yeah, I would say maybe even especially in places like Helsinki, which is in the south, or if you're in the north, like in Lapland, it has shown here that the autumn is longer. It takes more time to get snow. And finally, when you got snow, you usually have a really lot of snow, more than usually, I would say. So when there is snow, there is really a lot of snow, but the time of having snow has got shorter here in south of Finland.
Before we start talking about poetry, let's listen to your poetry and music project, Dubros. This is the first track from the album Herääminen, which you can still find on Bandcamp.
Olla pelkäämättä, jättää sanomatta, mitä minä sanoin. Rakastuneet eivät vielä tiedä olevansa sitä, juttelevat innostuneina myrskyssä kadulla. Ennen rapun oven sulkeutumista ovat huokaava helppo kesä. Haluan uskaltaa sukeltaa sinun kanssasi meihin pelkäämättä, mitä näemme, vaan uskoen, että olemme edelleen yhtä, valmiina luopumaan, jotta saisimme. Kenelle puhua, ei kylmää juomaa seurana. Savu nuotiosta nousi hitaasti, kuin yrittäen kuiskata, mitä minun pitäisi tehdä. Sade laskeutuu rauhallisesti, taivuttaa metsän lehtiä, niin mekin joustamme olosuhteiden pakosta. Muistan kuinka unohdit kätesi usein minuun, kun annoimme kukkien nousta illan tehdä meidät hiljaisiksi onnesta. Tällaista kaipuuta voi kokea rakastamatta avoimia, yhdessä suljettuja ovia. Katselin puita kauan, sama tuuli kulki lävitsemme, sai meidät kahisemaan rakkaudesta. Kivet monesti lohjenneet. Aina itsensä näköisiä, kokonaisia. Olen heikko. Kumpa sinä sallisit sen itsellesi?
So let's talk a bit about spoken word and poetry slam scene in Finland. You have been involved in this in many different roles as a stage poet, as a producer, as a host, as a founder of the Helsinki Poetry Connection, and many more roles. So how did you get interested in spoken word, and how was the situation when you started?
We have had, of course, some spoken word. We speak especially about performance poetry, or the straight translation would be stage poetry. We called it lavarunous. The scene was very small, didn't have any open mics. We had once a year, we had Poetry Slam, National Poetry Slam, which was quite small during that time. It was mostly like a little bit more, how can you say, academic kind of vibes in poetry. Of course, we have that still, but the performance poetry is now quite a big thing and very popular. During that time, I have been writing poetry for quite a long time, but I haven't any publications yet. So there was no stages for me to read my poetry for audience because I wasn't published yet. So I thought this is a bad system. We need to have stages for those who haven't published yet. And some people even doesn't want to publish books. They want to write poetry and perform it. Also, the Finnish rap music was in a really good position during that time and was very interesting. It's still actually. So I thought we need also to rappers and poets meet each other. Some even performance artists and maybe some kind of stand-up, not comedians necessarily, but people who do a little bit more like a political stand-up or something like this. So I wanted to put all this together and also a little bit of music and start to organize events. And I start to do that regularly 2008. For the first, it was only idea to make one event, but here I am doing events monthly and so on. So 15 years.
So is the like the Finnish spoken word scene, is it close to rap? Is there a lot of connection going on?
Well, I think in the beginning there was a little bit more connections. There is still, of course, connections, but the styles of, if you can speak about styles of performing or like that, maybe not necessarily at the moment so much, but of course, there is a lot of political spoken word. And actually, I would say something like 80% of the poetry is somehow political.
So how did that scene evolve? I think that one of the first events was the Poetry Jam, was it? And that was this event where all these genres kind of mixed. And was it an open stage or was it curated? How did you do that?
It was always something like from 4 to even 7 acts in one night with all from all these genders. And then there was an open mic. So they were really epical, like 4 hours long events and a little bit crazy events in that way, but it was they were really, really nice, and the club is still going on, and the collective association Helsinki Poetry Connection is still doing those events. I'm not in charge of that anymore, but I also do a lot of events by myself at the moment.
I remember when I started out with Poetry Slam in Germany, that the scene was very open and even experimental to some degree, but it has actually changed. Now you can see like more styles evolving, which are really popular. Well, a lot of poets do kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Do you see a similar development in Finland?
I see in specific cities, like if you look the scene of whole Finland, there is a big difference between cities, but one thing is also like we have only one regular slam going on, and that's actually hosted by me, but we have a huge amount of open mics. So open mics are a little bit more experimental, and I would say the scale of poets are a little bit wider in a way than in slams, because slams you have usually the 3 minutes and so on, and you need to get as big impact as you can get in that 3 minutes. So I think that has something to do with the styles also. So especially topics, but also styles, you can see in Helsinki, capital area of Finland, you can see there are some specific things. And I would say in whole Finland, the women rights and equality and gender issues and minority issues, and also the nature are and the climate change is something which are very typical topics at the moment.
Well, what other cities are there except from Helsinki that are very active in poetry slam scene?
There are many cities now which are active. I would say Tampere and Turku are quite big cities. They are one of the biggest cities in Finland. They are active, is active, and also a little bit bigger one. Then there is Porvo, which is a quite small town but active. Rovaniemi, which is the capital of Lapland, and that's very active also. Jyväskylä in the kind of we speak about middle Finland, even though geographically it's not in the middle of Finland. But anyways, Jyväskylä is a good place for poetry, and many, many other places. So we have even quite little towns might have a really good scene compared to the size of the place, I would say. Mm-hmm.
And is there a wider connection, like in Scandinavia, to Sweden or to Norway or Denmark even?
I think everybody in Scandinavia are kind of eager to have more connections, but we don't organize like Nordic events that often, but time to time, like actually not last Saturday, but Saturday before that, we have the Nordic Poetry Slam Championships here in Helsinki, and it was a really good show. All the slam masters of each country came to Helsinki, and we did a really good show together.
As I see it, the poetry slam scene has become quite big in many places in Europe, but still it's quite a different scene from the established poetry scene, from the academic poetry scene. It doesn't really mix a lot, from my experience. Do you see that gap also still happening, or is the spoken word infiltrating the academic poetry scene too?
Yeah, I would say that has happened in past 15 years, and now it's lot of academic studies about performance poetry, and also people who, many poets who publish books, they are involved in academic scene. It's a kind of I would say there is like one big scene, and it's not anymore so relative to speak about the academic scene and performance poetry scene, because they are so mixed at the moment. But of course, there are people who, let's say, do very experimental poetry books, which are in a way very hard to perform that material on stage. So it's only on book or even in a game of some kind or something like this. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, maybe it's in this respect, it's easier for a smaller country and a smaller scene to mix, because I've seen some of the mixing in Germany as well, but still there is that gap between the academic poetry and the spoken word, and some people who think that people who perform on stage they're not real poets, you know.
Yeah,
I can still see that kind of thing. Yeah, we just also already talked about how the scene developed. Are you still in? You're still involved in the poetry spoken word scene and in organizing and producing?
Yeah. As a poet and as an organizer, yeah, I run a monthly poetry slam here in Helsinki, which is very popular. Then I do time to time some other clubs, which usually aren't that regular. There are different places where I organize and other festivals or organizations ask me to do events like one-time events. And also I did this outside air poetry performance poetry festival in the countryside of Finland in a very interesting location by this very big lake in nature. I did it for 3 times in 5 years, and then I gave it to organizers from Turku. I'm doing like gigs and events, something like 80 to 100 a year, so quite a lot at the moment.
Okay, so that's also part of making a living, I would say, is it?
Yeah, it is actually, like, at the moment I don't have any grants for writing or for anything, so I really need to live out of this. But I'm also a DJ, so that brings something also a little bit to the table. But
it's also interesting to have all these different roles. So you see the whole poetry scene or whole art scene from different angles. You're as an active poet, but also as a producer, a little bit from the outside or from the back, where you just organized things. You were hosting shows. Do you think, besides making the possibility of making money with that, which is maybe otherwise difficult as a poet, do you think it's also interesting for a poet to have these different perspectives, or what would be the benefit for that?
When you're a performing poet or poet anyways, and you're publicly somewhere, if you're an organizer, you know what is good to offer for the poets and how to be, you know, how to honor them and to do a good atmosphere for the poets and also for the musicians and so on. So it's good to understand this from the perspective of an artist. One thing is, time to time when you're in a poetry event organized by somebody else, you start to think, I would do this a little bit different or something like this. So that's, I would say, the only minus. But
yeah. You just talked about it. You're also a DJ, and what is your main topic as a DJ? What's the music you're playing?
Well, I'm of course depends a little bit about the event of the night and purpose of the music, but I play a little bit old school music in a way that most of my music is from 50s to 80s. That's one thing. So I could do a specific event with the Finnish old school slager music, but also it can be, let's say, disco, funk, jazz night with the music from all over the world. I'm always interested when I'm in some country. I try to find the local, let's say, 60s, 70s, 80s music. And I play on vinyl, so they are physical records, which is one thing. But it really depends. I love Turkish music. I love Arabic music. There is really wide the scale of music. Depends so much about what's the purpose. Do I need to put people on the dance floor, or is it the music on a poetry club, or background music, or what's the idea of a music?
Hämärää voittoa tavoittelevassa kaupungissa piilotetut varjot takovat kattiloita kaduilla, unohduksen maku suuhun nukahtaneena. Aaltoilevan asfaltin pyörryttämät ihmiset naulitsevat ajatuksia mindmappeihin, kun kaksi pronssista naista pitelee kelloa viimeisen lehmuksen alla. Mies hymyilee sika käsissään ja viikset tippuvat tuottajien kasvoilta kadulle, joka nöyryyttää pienon koskettimia kuin kesyttäisi villiintynyttä käärmettä. Arkistot heitetään ikkunoista ja epäsäännöllinen sydämen syke kajahtelee autiolla torilla. Jokin keinuttaa hetkeä, kuin kuivunutta nurmea nuoren antiloopin kavioissa. Olemme tulleet tilanteeseen, jossa taiteilijat ovat kadottaneet tavan lähestyä taidetta kuin taiteilijat. Narisevien selkänojien myötä viemäreistä nousee pölyä, kun me kauppaamme kulttuurin ja kaupungin vauhdin turisteille kuin parhaana lahjana. Kelluvat taustavärit täyttävät kävelykadut ilpeällä poljennolla, josta emme pysty olla puhumatta, vaikka emme sitä ymmärrä tai siitä mitään tiedä. Välikysymykset ovat tippuneet puolueiden väleihin ja kysymykset kadonneet virkamiesten nahkapäällysteisiin salkkuihin. Johonkin on vedettävä raja, vaikkei ristiriitainen ja ajatteleva olento sitä haluakaan myöntää missään ajassa, jossa voisi itse asioihinsa vaikuttaa.
So we just heard a rather quiet piece from you with Empu Koivumäki on guitar. It's from the first sample CD of Helsinki Poetry Jam from 2010. But I know you did a lot of projects with different music styles, from folk to dub to hip-hop to jazz. So why is music so important for your poetry?
I think it's the same necessary what has put me to play records. That I tried to be a musician, but I was so bad of playing all the instruments. So I need music in my life, and I love to do poetry shows with musicians. So it's super nice for me. But there wasn't, when I started doing kind of experiments with the poetry and music, like let's say 2004 or something like this, there wasn't too many poetry and music combinations in Finland. But now there is much more. The most of the poetry and music groups or duos or whatever, they have a hard time finding stages on music festivals. They are maybe a little bit too much poetry, if you understand what I mean, or too weird as a music or something like this. And also there are not enough big poetry festivals to have enough gigs, you know, as a let's say a rock group or something like this could do.
Did you write poetry specifically for music, or is that poetry different from other poetry you write?
Most of the time it's I have the poetry and then we start to put music together, and then the poetry usually changes a little bit. But not too often, but few times it has happened that the DJ is doing his music next to me, and I listen to the music he is doing, and then I start to write what I feel or what kind of a vibes comes from the music. This is especially in this Hertel and Hertel project, which we had for which we made two records, kind of with the hip hop vibes, rap vibes. So, but usually I do have the poetry already, and then we put it together somehow.
We already heard a piece from Dubros, which you labeled as a kind of dub poetry project, and we'll also hear some more of this, but maybe you can tell us a bit more about this.
Kind of a dub poetry, but of course, as a Finnish person, I didn't do the reading in any kind of Jamaican style or anything like this, so it was kind of this cold, little bit industrial, Scandinavian dub poetry in a way.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to have a industrial cold Scandinavian dub, which is maybe similar to Finnish tango, which is also quite different from South American tango. But it's there.
Yes.
So it seems you can adapt to different styles in Finland.
Yeah.
And I think more recently you did another project with a group called Local AI and Mummy Powder. These are pretty weird names, actually.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah, actually, this local Al lived in the same corridor as I when the corona started in Finland. And we were thinking, like, we need to do something. We're all inside our homes. And this Al, this local Al, is a musician and have done music long time with this Mummy Powder dude. So they had their thing going on, and they wanted to do something. Also, I was kind of in a hard place because I lost all my gigs and all my clubs and so on. So we decided to start do music together in a way that they used my poetry, and I wrote some poetry for them, and we did some songs, which was even in radio playing and something like this. So in that project, I didn't perform like in other projects. I have one quite lately project has been with this super good jazz electronical musician Tapani Rinne, who had this Rinne Radio group, and still have actually since 80s. He's a multi-talented player, and we have had really interesting gigs together, which has a lot of improvisation, especially with Tapani Rinne. So that's the most latest live project I have had regularly going on. But then time to time I have gigs with the different kind of musicians. I especially love doing with the jazz musicians because they are so good in improvisation, and they, many of them, like to do stuff with poetry. Somehow poetry and jazz works really good together.
So before we go on to the next topic, let's listen again to a piece from the Dubros album, Hereminen, which you can find on Bandcamp. You can find infos about this project in our show notes on the Podigy blog.
Saanut, vaikka en voi sinulle sitä antaa. ja minä pelkään tätä hirviötä, joka on minussa, jonka olen saanut, joka kasvaa, jos annan sille valtaa. Enkä voi kieltää sitä, siten antaen sen tulla kokonaiseksi, mutta minä pelkään, että minulla ei ole enää voimia. En tiedä mitä tehdä, eikä näköpiirissä ole mitään ratkaisua, korkeintaan loputtoman hitaita, sellaisia, joita on odottanut jo vuosia. Ja kun tarvitsen apua, en usko, että voin sitä saada, kun yritän kertoa sille, jonka minua pitäisi kuunnella, miten minä olen ilman niitä elementtejä, jotka saavat minut tuntemaan oloni turvalliseksi, jotka antavat minulle kyvyn olla hyvä, kyvyn, joka meissä jokaisessa on syvällä. Mutta niin monesti tekojen ulottumattomiin painettuina, enkä enää tiedä, miten kohdata tämän hädän ja epätoivon, joka on suhteellista, mutta silti sakeaa.
Yeah, so this is how Finnish dub poetry sounds. I'm sorry I had to shorten the piece a little bit. Most of the pieces on the album are quite long. But I think it's high time now to listen to some of your pure poetry. I believe you have some poems ready and we can listen to them in Finnish and also in English.
Yeah, actually I will have in 2 weeks or few weeks I will have my first English collection. I already have a kind of this demo version of the book. This is not the final version, but I have all the translations here. The translations are made by a poet from Finland called Kasper Salonen, who is a good poet, but also a really good translator. I can do a few poems. Most of the poems which I have lately written in, let's say, past 5 years, quite often they have this topic of, in a way, family life and point of view of father, speaking about from man perspective. This first is about tomatoes. I'll do it first in Finnish and then in English. Haluan ymmärtää tomaatteja, nähdä niiden kasvavan ensin kylpyhuoneen lattialla, taimiksi, jotka pääsee ikkunalaudalle ja sieltä ulos kasvamaan oikean kokoisiksi, kukkimaan, tuomaan punaisia pieniä herkkuja meidän ruokapöytään, jotta ymmärtäisin ja lapseni ymmärtäisivät, miten jokainen syömämme ateria on vaatinut hoivaamista, huolenpitoa ja kärsivällisyyttä. So that was from this book, Kaikki tunteet sallittuja, and I'll read the English version. I want to understand tomatoes. I want to understand tomatoes, to see them grow first on the bathroom floor as a small shoot that makes it to the windowsill and eventually outdoors, to grow to full size, to flower and bring small red treats to our dinner table, so I could understand and my children could understand how every meal we eat requires nurturing, compassion, and patience. Okay, so that was some tomato poetry. It's a big thing in Finland, this tomato poetry scene. Okay, something a little bit from this book, Tiedän sen olevan rakkautta, which is actually my latest adult poetry book in Finnish. Haravoidessamme pihalla. Haluat yllättäen tulla syliini. Olet päättänyt yltää jonnekin, minne et vielä yksin pysty. Otan sinut syliini, tietämättä mitä tavoittelet. Ja käsiltäni kurkottaessasi uskot vilpittömästi pystyväsi nappaamaan leppiä vanhan lehmuksen oksilta, jotka heiluvat ainakin 5 metrin korkeudella. Lehtiin emme tietenkään yhdessäkään yllä, mutta tekosi myötä tajuan, että ihminen, joka saa apua ja turvaa, pääsee halutessaan syliin, uskoo myös helpommin pystyvänsä sellaiseenkin, mikä monesta voi tuntua mahdottomalta. And the same one in English. As we rake the yard, you surprise me by wanting a cuddle. You decided to reach somewhere you can't yet reach alone. I take you in my arms without knowing what you're grasping for. And as you reach out from my arms, you sincerely believe that you can grab the leaves of a linden tree branch that waves to us at least 5 meters off the ground. Of course, even together we can't reach them, but through your gesture, I understand a person who receives help and safety and get cuddles when they want them is better at believing something that others might consider impossible.
Yeah, so that was obviously a poem to your daughter. I think you have 2 daughters now.
Yeah, two daughters.
Yeah.
For them, and most of them comes from everyday life, like these simple things that happen every day or so on. But then I think many of the biggest happinesses in life comes from the everyday simple things, and also kind of I try to write about things that I consider to have a kind of a symbolic meaning for something else as well.
First, I would like to ask you, I remember that some years ago there was an article from Page to Stage Poetry in Finland, also
yeah.
about you and your poetry. And now it seems that you're also going the other way around from stage to page poetry, and you have published quite a few books, which is not that that doesn't happen that often as a stage poet to get published that often. How many books did you actually publish so far?
The English book will be 10th. Well, nine in Finnish, and then the 10th will be first big translations. I have translations in many languages, but not whole books. And I hope coming to Frankfurt this year, and also the Potvot project and this new book will hopefully bring some new publishing house to find interest in my poetry.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I think you are writing different kind of books. That I think you also wrote a children's book. Is that true?
Yeah, I did one during Corona time, COVID time, which is actually a super cool book. It was much fun to write because it has kind of the performance poetry thing helps, because when I wrote that book, I wrote it to the ear, especially how does it sound, and to make it interesting for kids, but interesting for adults as well. It's a physical book, but we did also a show where I was rapping as a crab and many other weird stuff. But in the book, there is a QR code where you can also listen the whole book, which is kind of the title of the book is Absurd Alphabets. So it's an alphabet book, but quite different kind of a one that we have in Finland. It's a poetry book, alphabet book, but with the good vibes and nice graphics made by Laura Merch, who actually lives in Germany.
Did that also mean that your poetry has changed from the first stage poems you did to what you're doing now, and what would be the changes?
Maybe I'm not the best one to say. Some critic could be better, but what I think, because I have performed my stuff and write books at the same time all these years, so I think the performing stuff has had a lot of impact in my poetry in a way of rhythm and what one could say something like understandability. So it's quite easily, you can quite easily understand it, but then it still have layers. And, you know, if I took everyday average person from the street and start to read my poetry to that person, he or she would probably have some kind of idea what the poem is talking about. So I think that comes also from the performance poetry side, that if it's super hard to understand, it's harder to get the impact on the stage. So that's probably one thing. Rhythm is one thing. When I was a little bit younger, I have in my shows, I have a little bit more, like it was more physical than maybe at the moment, because this is almost like story is what I'm doing at the moment. So it doesn't need that much physical stuff. But then if it's with music, it has more things happening on the stage and so on.
Yeah, I think seeing you as a spoken word poet, you're in a way kind of unique, because you already said we talked about the topics that most spoken word poets have nowadays. It's a very political stuff, very much about identity, about gender issues, about climate change, these kind of things. And in many respects, your poetry seems different. It seems, like you said, very much about the everyday experience, and not about the huge world that's going on somewhere. And is that also something that has been there all the time, or has this these subjects, have they changed since you have become a family person?
Yeah, I think it somehow it was probably there already, but somehow when my firstborn daughter born more than 8 years ago, it had a quite big impact on me. And for me, becoming a father was something which I was totally scared of. I was in a huge panic and so on. And also in my books, I write about my own experiences with my father and about my father's experience with his father and little bit also the impact of the wars in Finland, what that had the impact for men, and also kind of there is this that what I can think that has similarity to Germany is that quite many men and fathers have been quite strict and kind of maybe not that emotional. And it's something which is changing in Finland very much at the moment. During my time, like men can be much more emotional and show their love and warmness, you know. And I want to be part of this, and I want to write. I don't write only about the easy, happy things of parenthood or of family life, but I also want to show, because I think we still have quite a lot of these negative images in media in Finland of being a parent, how hard everything is, and you know, like this. But then again, at least for me, I don't say it works for everybody, and that's not the purpose at all. I just want to show also, like, we have all these massive problems in the world and war in Europe and there was COVID and then the global warming and all this, that at the same time we have love and warmness, and if we have that, I think we have hope and we have something to, you know, to fight for. So these are the kind of I think the everyday life things are important.
Yeah, I think that's the most striking characteristic about your poetry, actually, to me, to what I understand from your poetry, is first the calmness. It's very calm poetry. It's not extremely excited about anything. And also, even if you're performing, your voice very calm and this kind of thing. And also the warmness. It's a very warm poetry, very positive poetry. And even if you talk about negative things, it tries to bring some positive ideas in there. It's about this growing, like in a tomato plant, which grows very slowly. Yes. It's just great to watch it, how it can. And that's quite intriguing, because I don't see that kind of poetry so often. I think that's something very special, and even more special in the spoken word scene, which is very, very much about problematic identity and all the troubles in the world and the big issues that are happening. And you really seem to find hope in the really small things. And it's not just about everyday thing, but it's also to make everyday stuff. Well, there is some excitement in the everyday thing. It's interesting. Yeah. You know, if you have a closer look there, it can be funny. It can bring up your, blow up your fantasy. And that's something very special about this kind of poetry, I think. It's also very unique for a poet to live with a family, because we all know how difficult it is. And I would actually think about myself. I was always extremely afraid to have a family. Also because I could see what happened to poet friends who got a family. And most of the times the result was they didn't find any time to write any poetry anymore. So they dropped out of the poetry scene. But you still seem to manage to be a poet, to be an active poet, and even poet and organizer and a family person. How does that work out?
Well, the problematic thing is that it doesn't leave too much time to friends, which, you know, like I need to... If my friends want to hang out with me and I want to hang out with them, I ask, like, you know, can you come to our place, or do you want to go somewhere with me and my daughter or something like this? We have in Finland this saying, traffic years, you know, like everything is happening at the same time during those years. I think I'm in the middle of that at the moment, but somehow I find time. I'm kind of good with the time and producing. It's kind of comes naturally for me. I think it's also has something to do with how I have been grown up by my mother. So I think I'm good with that kind of stuff.
Disciplined or a disciplined worker.
Yes, and that's kind of also we have in Finland. It's quite common to be like that, but maybe not in the field of poetry. Sometimes people are joking back here that I'm the hardest working man in poetry business in Finland. When I write. I'm not writing all the time, but when I write, it comes like these huge buckets that turns around and it's full of poetry. And I might write, like this autumn I wrote, I don't know, something like 50 pages of poetry in 2 weeks. And after that, this year, I haven't written after that almost anything. So It's kind of a weird how sometimes it comes very fastly, a huge amount of poetry, and then it might be a silence for a long time. And sometimes it's like every week I have one poem, or every month few poems. Depends, but...
Yeah, actually, I find it quite difficult to get a disciplined work on poetry just because of that, because it all comes in a rush sometimes.
Yeah.
Then there is nothing again, so it's really hard to plan, you know. So it's not like if you're a novelist and you can write like 10 pages a day or 4 hours a day or 2 hours a day. Do you write every day? Do you have a special time slot where you can be creative?
No, I don't have any kind of a specific method, but one thing is that time to time I make myself write. I don't wait to be inspired or something like this. And quite often something comes. Might be that it's totally bullshit and then I just throw them away, but something good can come up also. So I try to write like as often as I can, but also because I don't have that much time, if I decide, okay, tonight I'm going somewhere to my workspace or in a cafe or somewhere and I'll write something. Because I don't have that much time, when I have it and I decide to use it on poetry, usually something comes up and it can be a good stuff. But I don't have like, it's kind of a somehow organic how it comes. I don't have any like special method.
But do you have an extra workspace then?
No, I have. I have had it for two and a half years or something like this. Before that, I always write in cafe places or at home or somewhere. And of course, when there are kids, it's even much more harder to write at home.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. So you must be able to be a very concentrated writer. So great. Maybe we should hear some more poetry of yours.
Yeah, I have one more, which is actually related to the Potwot project, which we can, if you want, we can talk about that. Because this poem is one of the poems which we have in a Potwot project. I will first read it in Finnish and then again in English. Jos me oppisimme rakastamaan, niin kuin rakastamme nyt toisiamme, pyyteettömästi, vastapalveluksia odottamatta, mutta silti niitä saaden, turvaa tarjoten, lempeästi katsoen, kohteliaasti kiittäen, onneamme vaalien, tilan, sanat, päätökset jakaen. Jos me oppisimme rakastamaan, hellästi silittäen, koko keholla haluten, uskaltaen olla me, velat ja ilot jakaen, nostaisimme esille toinen toistamme, kehuen tuntemattomillekin, kerskumatta vahvistaen, luoden perheen, rytmin ja hiljaisuuden, aamut ja illat lämmittäen, unet auki puhuen. Jos me oppisimme rakastamaan, omastamme antaen, mitään säästämättä, yhdessä uskaltaen kohdata sen, mikä tuntuu vieraalta, kohti kaikkea epävarmaa, siedettävää, seikkailua, johon uskallamme nyt yhdessä astua. Oppisimmeko myös rakastamaan muita, heidätkin perheeseen kutsuen? Time to time I do commission poems, not too often, but now and then. And this was a couple who asked me to write a poem for their wedding. But if I do a poem for a private person or even a company or something like this, I want to be not only for that purpose. So we had the migration crisis 2015. Quite a lot of immigrants were coming to Finland, and I'm sad to say that Finland is a little bit racist country, and people didn't took the immigrants so well. They wasn't so welcomed here, and I wanted to write a poem about love. It's called If We Learned How to Love. If we learned how to love, like we love each other now, selflessly, expecting no favors, but still receiving them, offering safety, gazing gently, thanking each other kindly, cherishing our happiness, sharing our space, our words, our resolve. If we learned how to love with affectionate caresses, with embodied desire, with the courage to be us, sharing our depths and joys, we would raise each other up, praise each other to strangers, confirm without boasting, creating a family, a rhythm and a silence, warming up our mornings and evenings, speaking our dreams wide open. If we learned how to love by giving what is ours, sparing nothing, together daring to face what feels unfamiliar, toward every uncertainty, toward tolerance, braving adventure, would we also learn to love others and invite them into our family?
Yeah, thank you. So that was a commissioned poem. Is that published somewhere?
Yeah, it's actually in this book.
What is the name? Can you say?
Kaikki tunteet sallittuja. And the name means All Emotions Allowed, which is name of this English book, which will come soon. Yeah. But actually, these are not the same book. Many of poems from here, almost the whole book is also in here, but it has poems which are not published yet, and poems from this book as well. So it's kind of a new book, even though it has the same name as the Finnish one.
Again, with this poem, you could see even more the idea you already talked about. To bring some warmth and the idea of safety also, to create a safe space for people. I think that's a very important aspect you're bringing there in poetry, and giving love, giving hope to things and to people. I find this very important aspect of poetry. You said is also connected to POTVOT, which is Poets of Today, Voices of Tomorrow project.
Yes.
So maybe we can shortly talk about this project, what it actually is and how you are involved in that.
It's a really interesting project. It's a Slovenian running project with the five countries, which are Slovenia, Finland, Serbia, Hungary, and Poland. And we are together doing this project where there are many aspects in the project. One aspect and the main target and the idea of the project is to bring poetry to young people, to schools. And every country has one leading poet. In Finland, that's me. And we're teaching with the group of other people, teaching other poets to go to schools to teach about poetry or tell about poetry for young people. And then there are many other things. There are live acts for the young people. There are shows of our leading poets, as we will do in Frankfurt, and we publish actually now on Frankfurt we will publish a book which has six languages. We have the poems of all the five leading poets, and then we will do the book for these poets who we are teaching at the moment. And then on the workshops, the young people do stuff in schools and so on. And there are poetry walks, and we're doing this method book in the end about like what we have learned and also what kind of methods to to use about maybe not so much of a teaching poetry, but how to, if you go to a school and you meet young people, what kind of a methods you can use and so on. I think it was from Slovenia, this Anja Golob, who had this idea that all the students, young people, they only know if they know dead poets. Mm. And there are a lot of living poets who are much more interesting in a way, contemporary poets. So the idea was to bring some contemporary poets and knowledge about poetry. So what we are doing, we are trying to make poetry cool again.
Yeah, that seems like a very good project. And you're actually coming to Frankfurt during Frankfurt Book Fair on October 19th at the International Theater with the whole group. I'm very honored I will host the show, so I'll be involved there too. So if you're around at Frankfurt Book Fair, please come to that quite unique event. I think that's a very important event at International Theater on Thursday 19th. Okay, so we're basically finished with our podcast, and the only thing that remains is to ask you, do you have any poetry recommendation of maybe Finnish poetry people should know outside of Finland?
One thing is that if you ever come to Finland and you're interested to hear poetry or poetry events, please contact me and I can give you more information about the specific events. But we have quite many great performing poets, but one quite unique is a poet called Nihke Akka, which can be translated to be grumpy bitch. And she is, example, a Nordic Poetry Slam champion, not this year, but a few years ago. She has amazing stuff in Finnish and in English as well. She lived in UK for some time and speaks very fluently English and writes also in English. Has a really good material about mental issues, about gender issues, equality, many interesting topics. And she does it with this nice, dark Finnish humor, I would say. So grumpy bitch, Nihke Akka, you can find her from YouTube and so on. That would be my recommendation.
Okay, great. We will put that in the show notes. You will send me the name and the links maybe.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And thank you, Harri.
Thank you very much
for taking your time. I know it's you don't have that much time, so it's really precious that you came to this podcast.
Thank
you. You heard episode 4 of Possible Poetry. My name is Dirk Hülstrunk, and my guest was Harri Hertel from Finland. If you are in Frankfurt for the book fair, don't miss Poets of Today, Voices of Tomorrow's show on October 19th at Internationales Theater Frankfurt with Harri Hertel and other international poets. You can listen to this podcast on all major podcast platforms, on Spotify, and also on YouTube. On YouTube, you can use the subtitle function for better understanding. If you want to get all the info and the complete show notes about my guest and our talk, plus many links, you should go to Possible Poetry blog on Podigy. And if you don't want to miss new episodes, please subscribe to Possible Poetry on our Podigy blog. Thank you, Harri, for this great talk, and see you next time at Possible Poetry. Possible Poetry.